This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block.
Once upon a time, there was a little black boy, and his name was Little Black Sambo. And his mother was called Black Mumbo, and his father was called Black Jumbo.
The original story of Little Black Sambo has never gone out of print since it was first published in 1899. But it's possible that recent generations have never heard of the book, much less seen it or read it. The controversy around racist interpretations of Sambo has been so intense that the book disappeared from many shelves. I did read the book as a child and have one indelible memory of it. I had forgotten the actual story of the little boy who wanders into the jungle and surrenders his clothing piece by piece to ferocious tigers who then turn on each other in a jealous rage. I'd forgotten all that. What remains perfectly clear in my mind, though, is the image of those tigers turning to butter as they race around a tree. They blur into a thick and luscious golden ring.
The father finds this pool of butter and scoops it up in a brass pot that he has and takes it home. And the mother makes this huge feast of pancakes, which, as a preschool child, I just went absolutely crazy over. I thought, wow, what could possibly be better than, you know, having pancakes for dinner?
That's Christopher Bing. He's an illustrator, and his third book for children is a meticulous redrawing of Little Black Sambo with the original text. It was written and drawn in 1899 by a Scotswoman who lived in India named Helen Bannerman. She wrote it as a letter to her daughters. In Bing's rendition, Sambo is an African child full of life. His face is joyful and wise as he wanders through a lush Indian jungle.
What I was going for here was to make it look as if you'd actually been walking down possibly the same path as Little Black Sambo through the jungle and found this book. The cover, you know, has tiger claw marks on it, and it's water-stained. And
there are pages of the book that show little trails of ants walking through them as if it had been just picked up off the ground and they were still inside.
I want people, when they pick up my books, to really feel like they are experiencing, just by holding the book, as much of the story as if, you know, they were there.
Christopher Bing associates Little Black Sambo with memories of his grandfather, who would read the story to him every night.
The book, to me, actually means love, and that's the only way I can describe it.
But there was something about this story, besides the fact that it was your grandfather reading it, that really captivated you at a very early age. What do you think that was?
It was just that. It's this wonderful fantasy facing off with these tigers. I think that as a child, you're looking for adventure. And it's not just a child going off on an adventure, but he actually goes out into the jungle alone. This was a child that I could become, I could turn myself into and live the fantasy.
But what was a fantasy for Christopher Bing became a nightmare for other readers. Helen Bannerman's original drawings were crude depictions of a young boy with exaggerated features. And soon pirated versions of the story emerged that twisted Sambo into a gross, racist caricature.
You have the bulging and darting eyes, the oversized lips, the wide gaping mouth, the very dark skin, sometimes bald, sometimes with hair that is wild.
David Pilgrim collects these images of Sambo for the museum he runs in Big Rapids, Michigan. It's called the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia. And it's not just the images that offend. The name Sambo itself has a pejorative meaning. It implies laziness and ignorance. David Pilgrim considers Sambo as offensive a term as darky or coon. Because of these racist overtones, a powerful backlash grew up around Sambo. It's on the American Library Association's list of the 100 most frequently challenged books. The fact that Christopher Bing chose this book to reinterpret galls David Pilgrim.
He probably selected the most controversial, painful, single children's book in terms of the African-American portrayal that he could have chosen.
David Pilgrim remembers reading Little Black Sambo as a boy growing up in Mobile, Alabama.
I remember thinking it was a funny story, but I also remember that one of the ways, even in the African-American community, that you insulted a child, especially a dark-skinned child, was to call him a Black Sambo. When I think of Little Black Sambo, yes, I think of the story, but I also think of the slur.
For the illustrator, Christopher Bing, Little Black Sambo is instead a clever hero.
I love this character. He's intelligent. He, you know, goes up against some incredible danger and comes out in the end whole and happy and being with his family. No other story starring a black child has done that.
David Pilgrim has seen Christopher Bing's book. He gives the artist credit for his rich new illustrations and the historical notes that are included about the book's troubled past. But Pilgrim says even with the racist images removed, what he calls a cleaned-up Little Black Sambo will still open old wounds.
It seems to me that we should write new stories. I don't believe that we need to sanitize old racist stories to make them more digestible to a new generation. I mean, if you want to write a story about adventure, there are wonderful other opportunities to do that. This story, no matter what you do with it, is going to come with a lot of baggage.
What would you say to people who would tell you, you know, it's the 21st century and we should be past this by now? We should be able to look at this in a new way.
I would agree with them. We should be past it, and we are not. We're not there yet with this one.
The publisher of this new edition, Christopher Francis Skelly, would like to think we are there. He calls this a great opportunity to convert a negative image into a positive one. Still, Francis Skelly says he heard plenty of critical questions as the project got underway.
Was I just picking at a scab that shouldn't be picked at? Had we not moved beyond this story, could there not be other images that could be used to portray children of color?
And what did you say when you heard those questions?
I feel them and I think I understand them, but I also think that if we engage in a continuous, literally whitewashing of our history, we forget and then we repeat again. And, you know, I too am the child of refugees of various fascisms. I don't think we can allow ourselves to forget and not look.
The artist, Christopher Bing, chose not to do what some authors have done lately, to preserve the essence of the story of Little Black Sambo, but change the name Sambo to something else, to shed the baggage that comes along with that name. Bing says that would corrupt the original work, a book he holds close to his heart.
There are black writers who have said that the experience of reading Little Black Sambo as a child was equated for them with shame, that the image of this black child was a hurtful and shameful thing. What is it that you hope kids reading this book now would take away from it?
I would hope that they would find a hero. Really somebody that they could feel that they could emulate and want to be like. And not just black children, but white children, Indian children, Asian children.
Christopher Bing dedicates his version of Little Black Sambo to his grandfather, who first read him the book 40 years ago.
And then they all sat down to supper. And Black Mumbo ate 27 pancakes. And Black Jumbo ate 55. But Little Black Sambo ate 169 because he was so hungry.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.